Inside on Business, the News Hour is brought to you by the Creamer Law Firm of West Des Moines, getting things done for you. CreamerLaw.com. Triplett Office Essentials, extraordinary service and solutions for your business. Triplets.com. And Iowa Computer Repair, you want your computer to work, and that's what they do. IowaComputerRepair.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the News Hour. This is an incredible story, I think, about survival. And for those of you who are listening for the first time, this is not what we normally do here on the News Hour, but I had a chance to listen to these guys talk to a group that are part of the Des Moines Cycle Club this past Monday, and I was so taken by the conversation that they were having about their survival on this Tour Divide, a 2,700-mile bike race from Canada to the border of the U.S. and Mexico. I said, hey, you guys got to come on Friday, and let's talk a little bit about this. So let's take us back here a little bit. So we're on bicycles. We've got everything that we have to have on the bicycles. We are not allowed to help each other. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so this is a self-supported race. And what's it like when you're setting up? You're sleeping out in the wilderness?
Yeah, we were, for example, out in the Wyoming desert, about 100 miles from anything. And it was approximately 10 o'clock at night, 40-mile-an-hour winds, pitch dark out. And I had practiced setting my tent up probably 50, 60 times at home just so I could do it rather quickly. And I had my tent put together quick, and I'm in there eating my Pop-Tarts, and I hear Matt out there making a ruckus still, and I peek my head out, and his tent is flying around.
I'm sure.
like it's a kite in 40-mile-an-hour winds.
Yeah, he had had the strategy of using rocks to hold down points in his tent, and I was struggling with mine that particular night because we had ridden 170 miles that day and outrun two converging storms that were chasing us most of the day. So there was a lot of stress and frustration trying to get yourself into a spot where you could
sleep.
So I'm in my tent eating donuts and Pop-Tarts. That's our dinner. Right. Uh-huh. And I'm hearing him out there, and he goes, hey, little help out here? And I said, hey, you know, we're independent racers on this. Sorry, can't help you out there.
Sorry, brother. So when you talk about Pop-Tarts and donuts, how much did you guys eat? And did you lose weight or gain weight or what happened?
Well, I actually came back at the same weight that I started the race at. And the consumption is whatever you can get your hands on in general stores or convenience stores. Where you might go off route into a small town along the route. So quickly you learn that Pop-Tarts are 400 calories per serving, and there's four packs in a box, and they pack very well inside a frame bag. So one box, 1,600 calories, and you look for as much calorie content as you can take
in. And how many calories a day did you have to eat?
Probably about 10,000.
10,000 calories a day.
You're spending maybe $100 a day on really just junk food calories.
You're taking a bite out of something about every 15 minutes. And then when you do roll into a town, you hit the cafe and you literally buy three meals. And then you also get a milkshake or pie while you're waiting for those meals, too. Yeah. I think one night Matt and I rolled into Big Fork and we ordered four large pizzas and like 12 cans of pop and ate it all within an hour.
Yeah.
That's a dieter's delight, isn't it? Speaking of dieting, by the way, we're going to have photographs of the brothers up on our website a little bit later on. But I can tell you what, your body fat is what, 2%?
Yeah, I weigh 145 pounds. And 100? About, yeah, maybe 3, 4% body fat.
And I'm 162, probably about 6%.
And you're an inch and a half taller, or 2 inches taller.
Yeah.
Okay. So how far did you guys get on this race?
We made it just to about 2,100 miles, just at the New Mexico border. And I had wrecked 8 times the day before.
You had wrecked?
Yeah, I had wrecked 8 times total on the route, but the last one.
Twice on his face.
Yeah. I did hit I landed on the face up in Idaho, which really led to some interesting dialogue for the next 5 minutes.
I'm sure.
Yeah. But the last one outside Del Norte, Colorado, I went over a Superman over the bars and landed in a rock pile and dislocated a bone in the right hand and shifted my left rib cage up about 2 inches above the right side and couldn't breathe real well. And we went over Indiana Pass, the highest pass on route that day in a driving rainstorm. And that was the next day after maybe 40 minutes worth of sleep, another pass. It started raining on us again. And we basically said, hey, this is nothing left to prove, and there's some physical health that might be at play.
We're not paying the mortgage doing that. Enough's too much.
Now, when you're on this race, talking about the Tour Divide, ladies and gentlemen. When you're on this race, you're not supposed to help each other. and you can go into town and get things, but you have to stay on the racetrack. What happens if you get lost? What happens if you need help? What happens if you're injured? How do you get a hold of somebody out there in the middle of nowhere?
Well, if you leave the route, you have to go back to the point that you left the route to resume the race. So if you can't go off route for more than a mile, so you'll backtrack out. So in that particular case, with my last wreck, there was a hospital available in Del Norte, but I rode past it because I knew if I went at that point that I would withdraw. So I tried to fight through, but you can use those resources, but you always have to go back to the point of exit to enter the race course again.
And how do people keep track of you while you're on the route?
Well, we had it's called a spot satellite GPS that you wear on your person, and then it transmits like every 2 minutes from and gives your exact location. And then so we had people at home, friends, and family following where we were at on the race route.
Yeah. This is just amazing. And so you made it about, what, 2,100 miles, 2,000
right.
miles or so? And any regrets?
None. As a matter of fact, I'll go back to try and
finish. You're going to do this again?
Yeah.
Not me.
I think
maybe I'll go on like the wine tour in California, maybe.
It sounds a little bit, yeah. Now, did you guys communicate much? How many other riders finished? The two questions, I realize that. So you start out with 133 riders. How many folks finished?
Well, at the time we left the course, 48 had left prior to us. 18 had been disqualified for going off route, and there was 8 finishers at that point in time. We were in about 34th and 35th at that stage.
Wow.
Since then, I think there's probably about 47 finishers. So that's, I think, it.
Yeah, and this is the real crux to this whole thing. After you ride all these ways and you pay for your own way out there and you do all of these things, all of the training, what's the monetary reward for the winner of the race?
Pride.
Yeah. There's no silver cup.
No.
Nothing.
Bragging, you know, stories.
There's stories.
I think we both walked away with some great stories, and I intend to write a book. As a matter of fact, I've got the first few pages done.
So, I don't blame you. Their names are Sean and Matt Arndt, and they took the Tour Divide. It's an amazing story. We look forward to the book because this should be great fun to read. Matt, thanks so very much for coming in and visiting with us about this. Sean, thanks so very much.
Thanks,
we'll
Michael.
See you later. And you brought your lovely wife, Carla, along. She's in the corner with I thought you probably would take a movie camera.
Yeah, she's our sponsor.
She is the sponsor. And she was the one that was back there cheering you on, right?
Yeah.
Throughout this entire thing? I think it's a fascinating story. It really is. A fascinating story about survival and doing what you want to do and having the determination to go ahead and make it happen. All of those seem to be business-related somehow, right? Hey, we're going to step aside for the Wall Street Journal report. We've also got the stocks of local interest. We'll check out the agribusiness report and the commodity numbers. All of those ahead of Cheryl Tessier in Eat, Play, Love Des Moines, coming up yet this half hour. Thanks for being with us. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour.